on the devices you use: radio, computer, tablet, smartphone, and now your Amazon Alexa-enabled device. WISR, we're everywhere you are. Just ask Alexa.
That's a look at your news, sports, and weather. We'll keep you updated on the weather situation throughout the day today.
WISR now presents It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. Dave is off today, so we have a special guest host. It's Your Turn is Butler County's only live call-in talk show. You can join in the conversation by calling 724-283-2525. And now, let's join It's Your Turn and today's special guest host.
And good afternoon. Tracy Morgan in with you for Dave Malarkey today for It's Your Turn. Thank you for joining us. And yes, a bit of snow right now, at least as I pass the door to be able to come in here. So there's a bit of snowfall again, and in the forecast, they're saying maybe an inch or two by the time this is all done. The good news, if you don't like the snow, the good news is that we have a pretty good string of days that will lead us through the rest of the week and into the weekend that will be sunshiny. It, I say, will be warmer, although we'll go down to the teens tomorrow, and then we're going to increase as we go throughout the next couple of days. By Saturday, that was the last day that I had checked on the five-day forecast, but on Saturday, it looks like that it could be upwards of 40-some degrees. So if you want it to be a little bit warmer, then that warmth is on the way. I'm a snow person. I like snow. But see, I'm a snow like at 32 degrees, 35 degrees. I'll go 35 in snow. So it's above freezing, so things will melt on the roadways. But yet, I'm quasi-comfortable, and then you got a lot of snow. So my family likes to ski and snowboard. I'm not a snowboard person, but we do like to ski, and we like the snow. So that's what our family's all about. And yes, I get the ribbing every single year, and I don't mind it because you know what? I'm proud that I like snow, and that's it. I always have to specify, though, I'm not a negative degree wind chill person. I don't like that. No. I said 35 in snow. That's where I'm cutting it off. So that's what I like, and of course, that will be increasing the temperatures as we go along. So it is about 12:33, and this is going to be our Ask the Vet day. And so when Dr. Damon gets here, we're going to go ahead and ask a few questions of him. And I knew this was coming up, and so I was already excited to talk to Dr. Damon because I'm a dog person. I've owned one cat for a short time in my life, but I'm a dog person. But there is an extra little glee whenever I knew Dr. Damon was coming in. When it was the other day, we have two dogs in our house. One's a bigger dog, a lab, and we came home because we've been trying to leave her out. She's a young dog, but we've been trying to leave her out. And then when we go away out of her crate, cage, whatever it is that you want to talk about, and then we come home and let her out. She's out most of the day. It's not like she's in there for 10 hours a day. I mean, if it's a couple-hour trip away from the house and back. So that's really all she's in. But the one day we thought, okay, we'll give her a chance. Always rethink if you have to take a moment and say, do we give this dog a chance? It just in the way of, we came home and the living room couch was, we needed to get a new couch. Can I just put it that way? That would be the easiest way to say what had happened. Yes, there was stuffing all over the living room and trailed into other rooms, and we just had to sit back and say, seriously, we're trying. We're trying with the dog. She's a good dog. That's the thing, is it's so important to research what kind of dog that you're looking to get, and is it a good fit with your family, and is it a good fit for the goals that you have? Because if you want a lap dog for company, well, then you're going to have to research that. You know, what kind of lap dog is good? Do you have kids? And is the dog going to be a playful kind of pup and love people and love kids. And if you have kids, you know what I mean by them crawling all over the dogs and enjoying that play. Or is it a persnickety kind of animal that just wants to sit back and relax and just wants to sit on the couch? So you really have to do research, that kind of stuff. And this dog that we have, lovable dog, love her. She's always happy. She's always collecting items and bringing them to you because she is a lab retriever. So that's what she does. And she's so proud of that whenever she grabs, oh, one, two, three, four. I think I've counted five items in her mouth at the same time, mostly her toys. But she'll come to you and just say, hey, this is what I have. So she's a really good dog. It's just, when, what do you do when you get into those moments that the dogs start chewing everything? If you have a remedy for me, I'd love to hear it. Because a lot of people had told me about something about, oh gosh, well, I can't remember the name of the product and I'm not here to promote it. It's just the sour apple spray. I don't know if you've ever used the sour apple spray. And it's supposed to be, so the dogs that we've had in the past, this worked. This lab that we have now, she licks the apple off. She licks the sour apple off. So what the sour apple spray is supposed to do, of what I understand, you spray it on whatever you don't want the dog to chew. And it's just a spray that tastes like sour apples. That's what the gist of it is. And so when, as a puppy, the dogs go and kind of start trying to lick the edge of the couch, the chair at your kitchen table, whatever it is that you don't want them to get, then they taste the sour apple. It's not necessarily their favorite taste, and then they move on. So that's how we've trained a couple of our dogs, is the sour apple spray. So we thought we'd go down that road again this time, and we thought, okay, we're going to use the sour apple spray. So we get the dog a couple years ago, start using the sour apple spray. I think it took about 10 rounds of us using the sour apple spray on different things. Again, the kitchen table, the legs of the table, the legs of the chairs, something. I can't remember. It was about the 10th time that we used it, dog starts licking the sour apple spray. I'm like, are you serious? Seriously. So now I have no idea how to get this dog to stop the destructive behavior, except yes, give her something to chew that's safe for her, and I understand that, and we do. But just like kids, you turn your head for a moment, and that's when it seems like the destruction happens. And so I've got to figure out a way that this dog does not destroy my house, because we don't have the money to refurnish our entire house. We just got the couch, and we were lucky to do that. So that's where I am with my dog. So if you have any kind of remedies for dogs or cats, too. I know a lot of cats like to jump on the counter. If you have something that's safe for a pet, what is it that you do? We can talk a little bit before Ask the Vet. It's 283-2525, 283-2525, and that's the number here. You want to? Oh, I'll go ahead and get it. All right, I'm talking to Pat in the other room. Hi, what's your first name?
Joyce. Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing? So do you have a pet?
I have a cat, and you're not going to like my inch. I'm going to tell you what we did when we first bought her home. The first time she got up on the counter, I smacked her rear end, and I smacked it hard. She never did it again.
She never did it again.
I had her for 16 years before she died.
And she never did it?
I don't know what
okay.
she did. Yeah, I don't know what she did when I wasn't home, but she knew when I yelled her name, she knew not to do it.
I was just going to say, I've heard people say they were curious on where their cats would go, and they would put down like flour or something. Look at the paw prints.
I didn't do that. That's a little bit too much.
I know, right? Then you'd have to clean up the flour.
Yeah, you know, the flour everywhere. Nah, you make them more of a mess than it's worth.
That's right. That's right. Okay, and the dog issue. Go ahead.
My daughter has a labradoodle, and she had the same problem. This dog, they lived in a trailer, and it was chewing the walls, you know, like down the bottom of the wall.
Yes.
In the hallway, it chewed everything up, probably about a year and a half. And the vet, now she lives in Tennessee.
Okay.
And the vet told her, when you saw the dog chewing, then put a muzzle on her. And she got to know that, you know, if I start chewing that, she didn't like it, you know. And when she didn't want the muzzle on, she knew not to chew. And within 6 months, she stopped. So I don't know if you want to go to that extent or not, but, you know, it's something to think about. You know, I mean, chewing a couch up, oh, my.
I know. And this was actually, I have to admit this was the second round. So, I mean, we're on, like, couch number three, and we thought,
oh my
seriously?
Goodness.
And the second couch that we got was actually given to us because the people knew what happened, and they were family, and so they said, here, have a couch. So
did
that was...
Did you try putting, like, newspaper down? That doesn't... Of course, my mom used to smack the dogs at the rear end of a newspaper, and that scared them.
Oh, yeah.
My mom had dogs in the house all the time, all day while we were in school. Never had that problem.
Yeah. I've always had dogs that weren't as big as this one. Not that the size matters. I know dogs of any size can chew when they feel like it. But I've always had dogs a little bit smaller than this and then on down smaller. And no, I never really had this problem with them. And so that it's an interesting dynamic on what to do. And then I'll get back to the cats for a moment. And since I'm not a cat person, I don't know what people typically do with cats. I know you said you mentioned what you had done, but people said that they put, like, cayenne pepper down. And then when the cat would lick the paws, again, it would be a taste that they didn't want. And so they'd figure out that I don't want to jump on that counter because that's where that taste is.
Right. But again, you're making another mess, you know.
That's true.
I don't want to, like I said, I think, you know, if you, like, I smacked, Nikki was her name, I smacked her butt once, and anytime I yelled her name, Nikki Lynn, she ran, you know, so she knew. I guess, I don't know.
And
everybody's not as lucky, so.
Well, and I hate to, I don't really want to, I'm not saying that you're doing this, I'll get to a story here in a second, but I don't want to on purpose scare my dog. At the same time, here's a story for you. So my smaller dog, because we have two, my smaller dog still had one of those leashes on that kind of wind in on itself. And when we came into the house, I was not quick enough to get it off of her. And she ended up starting to run around my house, but yet the thing was behind her and it was smacking on walls. And it scared her, and I felt so bad for the dog, and she didn't get hurt, but I finally caught up to her, got that leash off. But now, if I grab that leash, and she's not even in trouble, she remembers that moment that she does not like that thing right there. Yeah.
And they're smart. You know, animals are very smart. They know what they can get away with. And
yes.
My mom had big dogs, little dogs. We had a dash hound that bit everybody that came in the house, but never bit anybody that lived in the house. Figure that one out. And we had a collie, you know. These dogs all stayed in the house. Parrots, we had a bird, canaries, fish. Never had no animal problems when we were growing up. So I guess I treated the cat like she was my child.
Oh, yes.
And my daughter did the same thing with her dog, you know. She said, Mom, I'm chewing the walls up. And I thought, you know, get rid of the dog. That's what I told her. And she said, no, because I paid too much money for it. But thank goodness today the dog knows if I chew anything, you know, she has her own toys and they give her stuff to chew on all the time. And she knows that she even goes over and looks at a shoe. They have that, you know, it's laying on the coffee table or it's laying where she can see it. She knows not to touch anything, so.
Well, thank you.
I don't know. Back in my cat worked. I know a lot of people think that's mean and cruel, but you know what? She was a kitten. She was a rescue from the Humane Society, and I think she died of heartbreak because her owner died, and she died 2 months after he died. But she was all right. I wanted her, but he hated cats, but she ended up loving him more than me, so oh well.
Oh, my. Hey, thank
that's
you for your story. I appreciate you calling.
All right, yeah.
Thanks. You have a great day. Thanks. All right, bye-bye. All right, I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Mullarkey today with It's Your Turn. It's just about 12:45, and just talking about dogs, it's typically our Ask the Vet Day with Dr. Damon, and so I was just sharing about my dog and a bigger dog, a lab retriever, and then we have a smaller one at home. So do you have a way that you curb a dog's bad behavior? It doesn't necessarily need to be that the dog chewed your kitchen table or the edge of your couch, or in my case, the couch cushions. Didn't eat the cushion, which is good. I mean, didn't ingest the cushion, just thought it would be fun to take out every single piece of the interior of the cushion. So there were just strings of cushion everywhere. So that's my dilemma right now, but good dog. So, you know, she goes out and plays, and she plays with the other dog. So really no other problems than that thus far. Where's the wood, right? Knock on wood that there's no problems. 283-2525, 283-2525. Even if you don't have a solution and you just want to tell me what kind of pet you have, because pets are so much fun. I will tell you, yes, they're a lot of work. And yes, they always want to go outside when you just sat down after a 10-hour day. But they are lovable and they are fun, and just love them being a part of our house. And I did say I was not a cat person, but I'll tell you the story about how the cat came into our lives. Because I was actually here at work, and this was just a few years ago, but I was here at work and I had called home to my husband. I don't know what I was asking him at this point. Next thing I know, I hear, "Hey, I see a cat." And I went, "Oh, well, good for you. You know, all right, what do you want me to do?" So I'm continuing the conversation with him. But, well, it was a one-sided conversation at that point. Because at this point, I don't hear anything from him. And I'm like, "Hello, are you there?" And he said, "But there's a cat." And I said, "Okay, that's fine." And then I tried to keep the conversation. And he said, "I'll call you back." And I went, "All right, fine." So I never hear anything else from him. So we get to the point where I then finish up work here, and then I go home, and I go home, and my husband has created a cat box already outside on our porch. The cat already has some kind of bedding. I can't remember if it was straw or something, but it was some kind of bedding, and we already had a bowl because we had an extra dog bowl from years previous. So already had water. He was already planning to go get dog food, and I thought, are you serious? Last time I talked to you, honey, it was, I saw a cat. Now all of a sudden we seem to have a little cat motel on our porch. So what's happening here? And he did show me the cat, and the cat did need help. I will say that. So my husband has a heart for cats, and the cat needed help. We made sure that it got fed. It ended up coming inside after a while. We took it to the vet. It did not live long, maybe a couple of years, but it did not live long. But for not being a cat person, it was a very fun and exciting time with that cat, because that cat was just so precious, and it was a cat that loved you. Are you a cat person? Because I'm curious on what you like most about your cat. Is it the fact that, do you have a lovable cat that will sit on your lap and just purr next to you? Or do you have a cat that's one of those persnickety animals that just wants to be left alone, feed me, water me, and then leave me alone again? Because I just never understood the cat thing with people. So luckily, the cat that we brought into our house ended up being a cat that was just lovable and purred all the time and just would sit on your lap. And so what do you like best about your cat? Would love to hear it. 283-2525. It's 283-2525. And we are just hanging out. Today was our day that was Ask the Vet, so we're checking on that for you with Dr. Damon. And he, of course, can ask or answer your specific questions when it comes to animals. So, and any time, if you want to make an appointment with him or you have a pet question, feel free. They are the Suburban Animal Clinic on Route 8. Hello, what is your first name?
Laura.
Hi, Tom. What's your story you want to share?
Oh, it's a little remedy. Keep the dogs or cats from, chewing or scratching on the wood on your furniture.
Okay, so you have a remedy to keep pets from stopping to scratch or chew. So what do you have?
You get a little spray bottle, and you get out your Frank's hot sauce, and you put a little bit of that in there, and you dilute it with water. And then you spray it on the wood, and they don't like that flavor.
Okay, I'm writing this down because I think I have hot sauce at home. So is there a specific ratio, like a tablespoon, half a cup, or, you know, what's your ratio?
Yeah. Basically, I'd say a tablespoon, 2 to 1.
Okay, and just spray it on. So how many pets have you been successful, obviously, with this? How many pets?
With a dog.
Okay. Okay, bigger dog, little dog, just out of curiosity.
Medium-sized dog. It was a collie shepherd mix.
Yeah. Oh, but, yeah, those are fun. I like those.
It'd scratch a little bit at the wood, and then it would start chewing at the legs on the couch or the table or the chairs. Well, I sprayed some of that on there. I said, I'll see if he likes hot sauce. And he never touched it. After that, I took one lick, and that was it. He quit.
I may have to try that. I don't know if you heard me a few minutes ago when I said we use the sour apple, and the dog now eats the sour apple spray.
Yeah.
So maybe the hot sauce will be the taste.
Yeah, and you could probably do that like on the counter, spray a light mist on the counter, and once a cat gets out on his feet, he won't like it either.
That's true. That would go along the cayenne pepper kind of flavor. So,
yeah,
well, thank you. Yeah.
And once they get used to not chewing the furniture or walking the cat walking on the counter, then you don't have to spray it on there anymore.
But yeah.
They'll have the idea. They'll think it's up there. You know, the animal will think it's still up there, and the cat won't jump back on the counter.
All it takes is one or two times, and that's about it.
Yeah, once they get the taste of it a couple of times, they'll stay away from it.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you for your remedy. Yeah, thank you for either. I'm going to go home and try that, see if it works.
Give it a try. You let me know next time you're on.
And so yeah. I may need your number because, if my dog starts eating this.
Then you get him some chicken wings.
That's right. Hey, you have a great day. Nice talking to you.
You too.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey, who's It's Your Turn. I'm sorry, I saw Tyler in the hallway for a moment. So we may be talking to Tyler here in just a moment. We're going to take a break because of what I understand. I don't think Dr. Damon's able to make it today. But again, Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, that is where he is located. So at any time, if you'd like to make an appointment or if you have your questions for your dog, maybe how do you get your dog or cat to stop scratching, he would be the official answer for you. And he would probably have a lot of different recommendations for you. We're going to take a break and we'll be back in just a moment. I'm Tracy Morgan with It's Your Turn in for Dave Malarkey.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Wednesday night, the Penguins begin their West Coast road trip by taking on the Anaheim Ducks. Coverage on the Penguins Radio Network begins at 9:30 p.m. with Penguins Live pregame, and the puck drops at 10 o'clock from Honda Center. Don't miss the action. Tune in on the Penguins Radio Network.
Pittsburgh Penguins hockey brought to you in part by Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers, Hunter Truck Sales, Thrower Concrete, Monday Shoes, Camisa's Auto Body, Butler Agway, A&D Heating and Cooling, and Cash Dollar and Associates.
Finding qualified candidates to fill jobs is one of the toughest tasks employers face. What's the best way to find those candidates? How about radio? Radio reaches 93% of adults on a weekly basis. So your next qualified candidate is out there and probably listening to our station. Let the Butler Radio Network help craft a message that will bring skilled employees to your office. Put simply, the Butler Radio Network can help you find more qualified candidates. Call today at 724-283-1500 or visit butlerradio.com. Come and click on advertising.
Good afternoon, Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey with It's Your Turn, just about 5 till 1. And we're going to be here for another half hour, and then, programming note, I have to think of what it is. It's one of those days where you have everything meticulously planned, and then things just kind of go a little haywire, and that's all right. That kind of stuff happens, and then I have to rethink. So I'm going to take a moment to rethink, check my schedule. Tyler is in here, and Tyler, you have the folks at
Butler Motor Tours. It's that time of year, Tracy. You are trying to get out of the house, right? I think we all get a little bit of that winter bug to just start moving, get out of the house, and look for a place to go. But here's the thing. Sometimes you don't want to do the traveling alone. And, of course, we know just how big of a pain it is to take a flight anymore. No one really likes to do it. Sometimes it's more of a necessity than it is, actually doing it to enjoy it. So what's the answer? Well, how about Butler Motor Tours? They're right in your backyard. That's what makes this so easy. You just get your bags, go to Butler Motor Tours, and they have just a variety of different places you can go. They are actually doing a cruise this year, so you can check that out. That is all on February 19th, 20th, and 21st. And then, as we were talking last week, they do have a trip going to Baltimore. It leaves at 7 o'clock in the morning on February 22nd. And if you've never been to Baltimore, I'm actually a big fan. You get to and from Baltimore. There's an entire cruise, stateroom accommodations, and entertainment and meals aboard ships. Butler Motor Tours has it all figured out for you. What you do is you just get your bags, you go on the bus, and it is that simple, and you can't beat that. You don't have to worry about the traffic and going through that very stressful drive down the highway. You just get there. You can plug in your phone and listen to us on the app, if you'd like to, the entire way down to Baltimore. And then you get to just hang out. I love bus travel.
I do like bus travel.
It makes it so much easier. I like the bus. I like the train. Don't like the flights. Driving yourself can be at times relaxing if you're on a back road with nobody else around. But when you need to get somewhere for a little bit of a vacation, Butler Motor Tours is the place to go. So if you would like to get more information, you can call them. 724-282-1000 is the number. Not only is the motor tour simple, the number simple. 724-282-1000. Butler Motor Tours, a sponsor of the It's Your Turn program.
Would I be allowed to take honey on the bus?
I would imagine
just
so.
Wondering if I'm allowed to take my honey, the natural raw honey from bees.
There you go. I know you're a big honey person.
Just a big bee person.
I don't think they'll allow you to take the bees onto the...
No, I wouldn't take bees. I don't have bees.
Well,
you think I have bees at my house for
some reason. I have that idea.
I just like the honey. Are you not into honey?
Love honey. Love honey. One of my favorite things to do is to make a warm bun, like a biscuit, homemade biscuit or something, and then get local honey right on top of it. One of the best. It's like a dessert. And then they serve it as a side.
I get the honey that is raw honey, but it's like you have to scoop it out because it looks like butter.
Okay.
It's so thick.
Yeah.
And that's what I get.
I've never tried that.
I get that. And then you don't have to worry about solidifying or, I shouldn't say solidifying, turning into sugar. You know how it turns and crystallizes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the kind of honey. I go to a health food store and I buy it there.
Wow.
And then I'll put it in like shakes. If my favorite smoothie, I should say, is pineapple, coconut milk, and you know where I'm going, no alcohol in this.
Absolutely.
Pineapple, coconut milk, and ice. Sometimes I'll put an avocado in it, but you put honey in it and ice and you mix it up. Smoothie, done.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
I have gone to Tracy for a number of different unique recipes and home remedies. You have given me a remedy for a cold that has worked yet again.
Yeah. And I could tell you, but I will have to say that I am not a doctor.
Exactly.
So you always check. And I will say, I say that because you always need to check with your doctor on anything that you do and make sure that it is okay and healthy. And I don't want you to think I'm a medical professional. I am not. All right. That being said.
But this is classic coworker advice. Anytime you go to work, these are the types of theories that get thrown out. And I'm like, hey. I never see her with a cold. I'm going to give this a try.
Well, this is what I do. Okay. And I do it. And I can see your eyes already rolling in your head. This is what I do. Apple cider vinegar. I don't know how much. A teaspoon. Maybe
a tablespoon.
You know, I guess it depends on how bad I'm feeling. at night. And I will also take a clove of garlic, raw garlic.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the eyes start going into people's heads and say, you do what?
I
do a clove of raw garlic, and I chop it up. And the important thing about the garlic is this. When you chop up the garlic, you have to leave it sit. I've heard 10. I've heard 15 minutes. Because whatever it is that's in garlic, that's the healing properties, if you will, it has to hit the air for about 10 to 15 minutes. And that if you will, activates whatever that is.
Yeah.
And so then you chop it up into little pieces, and I will take the raw garlic. Yes, I will. Now, here's my trick in doing it. So I put it in my mouth, try to chew it real fast, and down it with water, but then I immediately put a mouthful of water. Just I hold it in my mouth because then it's coating my tongue that I don't taste the raw garlic.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key to it. And so I did read online something about blood pressure. So, again, that's why I'm always saying check with your doctor.
Yeah.
Make sure that it's okay, that it's not messing with anything. But of what I understand, garlic is nature's antibiotic.
It's a very healthy food.
Yeah.
A very potent food, but a very healthy food.
Yes. And then I take something called oregano. Oh, is it P73? I think it is.
Right.
Yeah, and oregano oil is very potent. I mean, all this stuff is very potent. And again,
if you're looking for a good way to end your night, apple cider vinegar, a clove of garlic, and oregano oil is not the way to go.
It's not.
It tastes absolutely horrendous.
But you have tried it, and you even said it doesn't knock it out in 24 hours.
No.
But if you're going to suffer for a cold for like 10 days, 11 days, for me, in my own situation, I cannot say this, it happens for everyone. I probably am bothered by the cold for about 3 days or four
days,
you know, that span. So, yes, I would rather do that and only have to deal with the cold for about two or 3 days than 2 weeks.
And I'm still dealing with, like, the cold weather congestion. You know, you walk outside. That nothing, you know, gets rid of that unless you live in Arizona. Like, there's nothing that's going to counteract that is in nature's goodwill except a box of Kleenexes and warm weather. But this is, I hate this weather. I always never minded it when I was growing up.
Yeah.
But then as I've gotten older, and I'm, you know,
and you're still younger than I am, so
I like to throw that in, Tracy, like every time we do a show together. And it's kind of miserable. I can deal with like 30. It's this 10 degree stuff like we're supposed to get tomorrow night that does me in.
And that's what I said at the top of the show. I love winter. I always have. It's one of my favorite seasons. Love the snow. But I'm the 30, what did I say, Pat? Oh, Pat's not there. I think I said I settled at 35. 35 and snowing.
That's
my winter
one.
Day.
Yeah.
And that's what I love.
Yep.
And I was at, I think it was church. Yeah, it was church. And a pastor had said, would you rather have negative 18 or would you rather have a bunch of snow? And a lot more people said negative 18. And I'm like, oh, no.
Hello. Take the snow.
Give me the hand over here because
absolutely.
I'm all snow.
I'm in on the snow. I love to ski. I like to sled ride. I like to do all those fun winter things. I don't like to be freezing.
Yes.
And that is sometimes what you get.
But at this time now, we are at 20-some degrees. I didn't check the temperature.
I'm all right with that.
But don't you feel like you've gotten used to it to some degree?
Yeah.
Because we're not at negative 18 today.
When we went through that stretch of like 0 degree temperatures and it got up to like 25, I'm not joking. I put a pair of shorts on around the house and a hoodie. I'm like, wow, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
No, you do. Your body adjusts. I was skiing 2 weekends ago, and there were times on the mountain it felt like negative 20. And I was out there, which probably kicked in that cold that I would later get on Monday. But then on Sunday, it was about 15 degrees with no wind.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking in terms of feel-like temperature, 35-degree difference there? And it felt awesome on Sunday, and we skied for quite some time. The sun was out. Really nice day. But Saturday, whew. I did not go up and down the mountain all that often.
So we almost went on Sunday, but I think we kind of just said, we'll wait for another week and do that. Yeah, and I have to tell you, I have some people I know out in California, and we were kind of in a group kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And there was somebody who had said, you know, hey, make sure your mindset is, you know, think of other people in the country. And, you know, it's winter and yet, you know, it's really cold. And I tried to chime in on that conversation to say, yeah, it's like negative 18 and your hands hurt when you get gasoline. And, you know, and I'm trying to give them the picture of, yeah, it's kind of bad right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a response from somebody that said, well, it sounds like winter. And I just in my head went, you people are not from here.
No.
You know, I mean, and I remember the day when I was a kid, since I am older than you, I can say this. When I was a kid, we would want to know if it's going to snow on Halloween. I mean, we had snow in November and December and inches. And, you know, you had delays and things like that. But negative 18 is negative 18. I'm sorry. That's dangerously, bitterly cold.
We were due for winter like this. I think we got off relatively easy, I would say, for the past 2 years, and just seems like we were due for a snowy, cold winter.
I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago that we had a bout like this.
I think about 3 years
ago. Was it about 3 years
ago? Yeah, I think there was a year. I think it actually may have been my last year of college. And we actually got closed at Slippery Rock, I want to say, for 2 days, which is rare for a college to shut down at all, let alone consecutive days.
Yes.
So I want to say that was about 3 years ago.
That only happened once, and I was at Clarion, so we're talking a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And
so about, what, 5 years
again,
ago?
Again, now I don't want to be so proud I'm older than you. All of the sudden, how that changes. But, yeah, I remember a week or weekend or something where they closed classes.
Yeah.
And that was shocking because—
It's rare.
You don't close a college down.
But what I think is different now, and we had a conversation about this, I think, about last week when we were talking about delays and closures. What's different now, especially with colleges, you have some non-traditional students, so it's not like everybody's living on campus anymore. I would say most people do, but I do think colleges are a little bit aware that there may be kids traveling from outside of the little college town, especially at the state school level. So, like, I know a bunch of people that I went to school with that lived in Butler and drove up to Slippery Rock, and at times you're talking about a 20-minute drive. Now, very few people, but that still may be enough where it warranted a close at some point. And at Slippery Rock, it always felt 10 degrees colder, and the snow was about 10 inches higher. At least it felt like it.
I know if I talk about a town, other towns are going to say, hey, we're just as cute, so I don't want to leave anybody out. But since you're talking Slippery Rock, I really like what they've done in the past many years, you know, but with the main street that they have, and I've always enjoyed the college and whatnot. Don't tell Bob Cupp, because Bob Cupp, who works with our company, he and I always jokingly go back and forth. I'm Clarion, he's Slippery Rock, you're Slippery Rock, so the fun battle is within. But yeah, I've always enjoyed the campus. My husband went to Slippery Rock, and so just that Main Street is just so, I don't know, unique now.
Well, my parents went to Slippery Rock in the late 80s, I would say, and when we went back up, and granted, they had been there before, but first thing they said, this is not like when we went here.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's the first thing I hear by a lot of people who are about a generation older than me. Look, when we went to Slippery Rock, first of all, it was a dry town back in the late 80s, and I believe it stayed dry through the early 2000s.
Yes.
Once that happened, it seemed like that brought out a little bit of Main Street. Give a lot of credit to North Country Brewing.
Oh, that's a neat
place.
That
is a really cool facility. Mm-hmm. And I think that sparked a little bit of a Main Street revival. And with that, the college has now, I'm not crediting North Country with the evolution of Slippery Rock.
It's a part
of it's almost become ingrained in the fabric of the community. Slippery Rock has continued to take strides in terms of what they've done. And you have to give that university credit, too. And we've talked about higher education on this show before, at least when I've been in, especially with Dr. Newpower just a week ago, that for as big of a struggle as it is for colleges on this side of the state, Slippery Rock's enrollment has actually gone up. And so they've been able to do something with that campus that attracts people to come to that school. And so I think that's a testament to what they've done with the town and what they've done with the college.
Honestly, if you were going today, would you look at college first, then town, or town, then college? Or does it go into one package when you're deciding into a school?
I have an affinity. We've been doing a college football trip, my family and I, for 15 years now. I think this was the 15th year where we go, and we visit different schools, and we check out different college towns. And if somebody asked me, what would you rather go to, an NFL game or a college football game? I'm going to a college football game 10 times out of 10. I love the atmosphere of going to a college town. There's something about it. And so when you ask if it is it town or school, I think a lot of these universities, a lot of these colleges have just tried to combine it into one. And I used where we went this year, Virginia Tech, Blacksburg, Virginia. I mean, we were driving for a half hour, and there were trees on the left, trees on the right, and maybe a horse or two that popped up in between. And then all of a sudden we drive, and this town rises from the ground. It's Blacksburg, Virginia, and it's there because Virginia Tech is there. And so you're driving through, and this is a college town through and through, but there's so many different elements to it, and you can tell why people want to go away to school to something like this. It's different. It's fun. It's exciting. And that's why I like going to college football games. That's why I like going to visit college towns, just because there's different culture there. You get all these different backgrounds coming in, and it really creates something special. And sure, this is in our backyard. It's Slippery Rock. Sure, it's a Division II school, you know, part of the state system. But there's something different about it. When you get there, you go, this is a college town, but there's a little bit of a nuance to it. There's some intricacies that are very specific to Slippery Rock.
But Slippery Rock doesn't seem like a run-down college town. It just seems like it's modern, as you were saying, the development of the different businesses on Main Street. Bob Sub's still there, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we had a Bob Sub, too, in Clarion, because those are the two, I think, original local. Yeah, so, but it just seems like it's more modern. But the reason I was smiling at you, because, one, you know,
I thought you were just impressed with my vocabulary.
Okay, sure. And then, but you know, I don't live sports at all in any way, shape, or form. It's not that I'm against them. I just would rather do other things. Give me the Cliff Notes. I hear you guys talking. Okay, I know who won. That's just my life. So know that when I tell you this story in Tennessee a few years ago, not quite a few years ago now, but I was down there for a job interview. Ended up working down there for a couple of months, but the job interview, yeah, it was in
Knoxville.
Yeah, is that UT?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So UT was there, and so somebody said, "Do you want to go watch football?" And I went, "No, not really."
Yeah.
And they're like, "What? What do you mean?" Yeah. I said, "Well, no, I'm good. I'd rather. What else do you have for me to see?" And I'm like a tourist type person, right? And they said, "Do you understand who's playing?" And I went, "Yeah, I'm good." So then I find out a couple years later, I realize who was playing. It was Peyton Manning.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So I had like these up close seats that I could have watched Peyton Manning play. And now that he is where he is, you kind of go, maybe I should have gone. But
we went there. Lane Kiffin was there for 1 year. So whatever year that would have been. That town lives and breathes.
UT.
Yep. It's Tennessee. And you saw that, I don't know if you had followed the storyline at all. Earlier this year, they had hired for about 24 hours Greg Schiano, who was a coach from Ohio State to Tennessee.
Okay.
The entire student body, alumni, revolted against administration and spray-painted, vandalized things.
Really?
Because they hated this hire. So the administration said, no, we're not hiring him.
So within 24 hours,
they let this
individual
guy go. The athletic director was then let go. They brought in the old football coach to be the athletic director, and then they made a hire again.
Oh, wow.
So when you want to talk about, like, I know people look at me, you know, and when how people get fired up with sports and how much people like myself and Bob and we get all tangled up in sports. We're sane compared to these southern college towns. They're nuts. But there's something special when you go there. I mean, I believe it's called Neyland Stadium, holds 105,000, maybe 110,000 people. Think of that.
Yeah, that's a lot.
110,000 people. Yeah. I mean, we see this in the middle of the state of Penn State, but 110,000 people, their Saturdays in the fall are go here. It's a party. It's a lot of fun. I just love the atmosphere of it. Yeah. I get goosebumps a lot of times when I'm at these stadiums and the crowd's roaring. There's nothing quite like it.
So do you get to go often? Because do you still interact with Slippery Rock?
I am the backup color commentator.
Okay. But still,
And
I think that's an impressive job. I mean, we do a lot of things in our industry, different presentations, different ways you talk. And to do color commentating, I'm very impressed with what you do.
People rip on a lot of these professional announcers. You know, Chris Collinsworth is the first one that comes to mind. For someone that has done that, and you have to take something that happened in 10 seconds and condense it into about a three-second thought where you are trying to convey exactly what happened, and you've got about 1 second to do it, it is one of the toughest things I've ever tried to do.
And it's a dance because you also have a coworker beside you who has their role, and you have to make it sound cohesive, not take their role. They don't step on you, but yet.
And that's why you see a lot of these guys, if it works, the play-by-play announcer does not want to part with the color analyst because they know what each other is thinking. And there is something special about that. Football, to me, to be honest, Tracy, is, in terms of chemistry, it's the easiest to do. Like, if I'm doing a game with Bob, and Bob is one of the most fun play-by-play announcers you'll get to work with. And granted, we see each other every day, so we kind of have an idea. But he says the play, and then I know when he goes to write something down, I can jump in. And then I have to get out. when you're doing like basketball on the radio, and granted, we don't have color commentators here, but you have to find your way to jump into the broadcast and jump out without taking away from the action. Hockey especially. I mean, you've got Mike Lang, this legendary voice, and Phil Bork has to step in at different times during the broadcast, say and give a little bit of analysis, but the play's still going on.
It's a fast sport. Oh, yeah.
The most exhausted I've ever been after doing a broadcast. I had a chance to do a hockey game one time.
It was hockey.
I walked away. My brother's like, hey, we're going to go, you know, to an establishment.
Your head's still spinning. It's yeah. Like, what?
And,
why?
And I'm sitting there. I'm like, Joe, I'm tired. I'm like actually tired coming out of this. So.
Oh, my. I'm Tracy Morgan. Tyler Friel sitting in with me for a couple of minutes with It's Your Turn, in for Dave Malarkey. And in about 15 minutes, the Butler Little Theater is expected to be here. And we're going to talk about their show that's going to be starting at the end of the week. But Tyler, a couple more minutes with you, if you don't mind, because since you mentioned sports, then I want to know your interest in the Olympics. And the reason I ask this is because, again, I sound like my mom when I was a kid. This is like the third time I've said this. So when I was a kid, though, we only had a few select channels, and you knew it was on one channel. You knew when it was there. It was kind of like sitting mm-hmm. down with your popcorn, and you made sure that you were a part of it yep. because you only had that one opportunity. And then you did only have a certain amount of time to be able to watch whether it was a full sport. Maybe it was on Saturday, Sunday morning mm-hmm. or throughout the day, and you could watch it throughout the day. Well, now, of course, fast forward to where we are. We're binge watching everything. There seems to be extra channels for extra channels. And now there are sports that I never even knew existed because now there's a place for them to be seen. So my question is the Olympics, to me, I don't really get to watch as much anymore. Even the ceremonies, the closing yeah. and the opening, I just kind of go, well, I guess I missed it. You know, it's not the same for me as when I was a kid. Although I have, on a Saturday, sat and watched, oh, I don't know, what's the thing that they shuffle against?
Curling.
Curling!
Everyone loves curling.
And then at the end of like 2 hours, I went, why am I sitting here for 2 hours watching people shuffle something across
Welcome
the ice?
Welcome to sports, Tracy.
But it was very interesting, and I'd watch it for another 2 hours. So my question is, is it a big thing? And I ask you, because since we joked about our ages, I'm not a millennial. You are. So is it a big thing for you as millennials to watch the Olympics?
First things first, I got into a bad curling phase like in the 10th grade. Like I
Did
was
you?
All in. Oh, yeah. I was going. I was
You've
watching.
You've done
like,
curling.
No, I've not done
oh,
it.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
I was just saying, I was watching it. And I was talking not the Olympic curling.
Okay.
Like I was watching Friday night. I think NBC Sports Network for a brief time had Friday night curling in America.
Okay.
And it was awesome.
I didn't know.
I really got into it. Now,
it's a fabulous sport. Yeah, I don't want to knock it, but go ahead.
It's really bizarre. What was the question?
Is it as important to you as a millennial
yeah.
to say, wow, the Olympics are coming up, and do you get to watch it a lot more because there are a lot of channels and a lot of opportunities, or do you just catch the highlights?
I think that also speaks to you talking about it not being as special anymore is because we do have this access to it. And, I mean, I don't know if you remember a few years ago, and it's really just been recently.
And, you know, I'm going to jump in. It's not that it's not special. It was the moment that was special. Like,
yeah.
I had to be there for the opening ceremony. So I don't want anybody who hears me, it's not that I don't think they're special. I love the Olympics. It's just the moment to be there is not on my radar anymore.
It almost lacked big event status.
Yes, yes,
anymore.
Yes. Okay, I'm yeah. sorry. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Well, I think we have so much access to it. And again, going back to when you were growing up, no one knew what happened. So if the Olympics were in China or wherever, not
mm-hmm.
in America,
mm-hmm.
so primetime changes. The event happened, let's just say 3 p.m. our time. They would save that tape, hold that big event, whether it would be swimming, and then move it to 8 p.m. Now people know. So
people know in the moment.
Exactly.
It's Twitter and Facebook.
So let's say this is 8 p.m. China time, and that's when the event happened. And I don't know the time correspondence,
yeah, yeah.
but let's just say
time difference,
whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's just say it happened 10 a.m. our time. People know by 10:15 exactly what happened there. When you were growing up, they could hold that until prime time. So the only way you would know if Michael Phelps won that 8th gold medal was by tuning into NBC, ABC, whoever had the Olympics. I believe it was ABC when you were growing up.
I can't remember.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember.
So you would tune in and you would watch, and that's how you would know. And then the morning paper would come out the next day and you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have this need to know right away. And there was a lot of backlash on NBC when they made the decision to hold those broadcasts until primetime. Now what they've decided to do is open up their plethora of networks. Like you said, you tune on USA, which usually runs about 10 reruns of Law and Order a day.
Yes, Dunn, love that one too, but yeah.
And now you're watching, you know, sideways speed skating.
Yeah.
And you're like, huh, well.
Didn't know that was a sport. Yeah.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. And so the access to it is so much there that you can watch these big sporting events in real time. But everyone knows what happened before primetime. There's something to be said about an event happening in primetime.
Yeah. You almost have to watch it that way nowadays because of exactly what you're describing. Mm-hmm. If I want to know and be in the moment, there it is. It's going back to being in a moment. If I want to be in the moment to see, does USA get it? Does Canada get it? Does, you know, I don't know, Norway get it, whatever. Yeah. But who gets the medal? You have to be in the moment and watch it when it's on. But now we have different access, too. You can watch things on your phone. Mm-hmm. So that's a traveling television for you. Yep. You don't have to be locked
at home. You can watch it at work if you want.
That's true. Not that we don't do any. We pay attention at all times to the work we're supposed to do.
We do our job here 100%. There's no way we're ever doing anything like that, despite the number of TVs that we have in the studio.
Pat, stop watching TV in there. We're working here.
Come on, Pat.
But yeah, I think the Olympics are special and it's fun that they're coming. But here's another difference between way back in the day and then where we are today is we had, was it 4 years in between the Olympics? So you had the year of summer, winter. You know, that was kind of your Olympics, didn't you?
Is that how they did it?
Or was somewhere along the lines?
Staggered them.
Was it 2 years? Because somewhere, okay, I may have that wrong. Yeah, check it. See, check it on your phone and we'll get an answer right away.
Exactly.
But I do remember that it was a few years in between the next round that came. You know, it was a couple of years. Now it seems like it's every 2 years, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Winter Olympics. They're all every four, but it goes winter, summer, every 2 years.
And it wasn't like that. That was a change. Wasn't it a change? Was it every 4 years, Pat? That's what I thought. So Pat is confirming. And if Pat confirms, we know. But it, yeah, it was every 4 years because that's also why it made it a bigger event because you knew the Olympics were not going to be around again for 4 more years.
My friends at Wikipedia, which is how I made it through college, until 1992, the Winter and Summer Olympics were held in the same year. But accordance with the 1986 decision by the International Olympic Committee to place the Summer and Winter Games on separate four-year cycles and alternating even-numbered years, the next Winter Olympics was after 92 was 1994. And I'll give you my eternal friendship if you can guess where the 1994 Olympics were held.
If you can give me a second, I'll ask Google. Hey, Alexa. Alexa, where were they held? In the United States?
No.
No, they were not. Why would I say the United States?
Lillehammer's not.
Lillehammer sounds like a European country. It is Norway. It is Norway. Some people talk to Alexa. I talk to my producer, Pat Parker. Thank you, Pat.
He's called a voice assistant.
Voice assistant.
Voice assistant.
AI, artificial intelligence, whatever, VR, virtual reality.
That's real intelligence on the other side of the glass, Tracy.
That's true. All right. It is about 1:25. Butler Little Theater will be in just a couple of minutes and just having fun with Tyler Friel. Pat, we need to take a break for a couple of minutes. This is always live radio, so we can always do that. All right. So let's do that. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. Thank you, Tyler, for sitting in. I'm Tracy Morgan and Tyler Friel with It's Your Turn.
Choices, decisions, quality health care.
These are important issues that really hit home.
It's a good thing that Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to help. Home health care can help you or your loved one recuperate from an illness, manage a chronic disease, or recover from an injury or operation right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
Shipping things yourself can be extremely complex. You buy the box, you make sure it's secure, and then you got to tape it, then lug it into the car, to the post office. Ugh. Make life easier. Take it to Goin Postal. In between Villa Grande and Kings on Newcastle Road, Goin Postal takes care of all of that for you. And hey, they've got Valentine's Day cards as well, local honey, and lottery tickets. It's just a downright good place to go. Goin Postal, 140 Shockey Lane in Butler, if you got to plug it into the GPS, your friendly neighborhood shipping store.
Write that down so I
Well, don't you be sorry. Tune in every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. for the Mr. 60s Rock and Roll Oldie Show, right here on WISR. This is Mr. 60s inviting you to come with me on a musical journey through the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And don't forget to journey up the South Main Street Hill to my favorite shop and our sponsor, Bros' Superette. Thanks, guys, for being part of my show.
The Butler Radio Network Marketing Department specializes in helping local businesses grow through cost-effective, targeted advertising. With the right audience and enough frequency, your advertising dollars can provide a tangible return on investment. Our goal is to make your job easier by providing radio for every lifestyle, meaning with unique radio formats, we can reach enough of the right customers to positively impact your business. The secret formula for advertising success comes down to this: what you say times how many times you say it. Call us today for more information or visit our website at butlerradio.com and click on advertising. The Butler Radio Network family of radio stations. We live here, we employ here, we spend our money here, and we'll help your business make more money. I'm Kathy Gregory Steiner, and I love what we do.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch. It's Meals on
Wheels. 1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Good afternoon. I'm Tracy Morgan for Dave Malarkey with It's Your Turn. Welcome back to the program. Almost 1:30. It's about 1:27 or so. We're still in the 20s right now, so the temperatures are expected to go down a little bit tomorrow in the teens, about 16 for a high. And then we're going to be on our way back up. So if you're looking for 30s, we'll finally get there. If you're looking for 40s, it looks like about Saturday is when we're going to hit the 40s. So everybody do a woo so we can get 40s. Now, this snow will probably come on and off today, and then we're going to be left with some sunshine. So again, woohoo, because we're going to have sunshine and 40 on Saturday. So it looks like it's going to be a good weekend. But we are on our way there, and that's what the weather looks like. So still be very careful today, because in the 20s, as you know, if anything melts, you never know if it's going to freeze again. So just be very careful. I know they're out there diligently working and making sure that you're safe. All right. So for the rest of our program up until 2 o'clock, we're going to be well, we do have two individuals here with me from the Butler Little Theater. We have Dennis Casey, and we also have Danielle Vrzinski. How you doing, both of you? It's nice to see you and have you in today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Still snowing. You'll be my weather reporters. Still snowing out there. So this is a production that's going to be starting on Friday.
Correct.
And it's called Other People's Money. So first of all, explain, what's the premise of the show?
Well, the premise of the show is I'd call it conflict between a business owner in New England who wants to preserve and run his business the way he sees it. Unfortunately for him, his business is publicly traded, and a Wall Street investment banker has targeted his business for takeover and liquidation. He wants to essentially run the business into the ground and sell off the assets for cash.
Okay. And so what role do you play in this?
I play the business owner.
Okay.
So
all right.
I play...
the good guy, bad guy.
Well, you know, there is no good guy, bad guy.
Okay.
It's just the play presents, if you will, two sets of interpretation of economic reality. And I guess, in effect, the audience gets to decide when they leave which person was the good guy and
gotcha.
Which was the bad guy, because it really, I think, depends on point of view.
Yeah. When is this set? 30s, 40s,
80s? 85, okay. 1980s, 85, you know, kind of go-go Wall Street, a lot of stuff happening financially. So in the midst of that turmoil, economic turmoil, that's when the play set.
All right. Danielle, tell me your role in this particular performance.
Well, I play B. Sullivan, and I'm Mr. Jorgensen, Mr. Casey here, his assistant, his loyal assistant for 37 years. And I guess I was secretly in love with him when he was still married to his wife, and I was married to my husband. And then when his wife died, then I must have come out of the closet.
But, I said, guess what? I have a secret.
Yeah. Well, you can't. I mean, it's... more or less that they're a couple.
Sure.
So I made that job and being his assistant my life and neglected my family. That's
okay.
Sort of my part of it. And then my daughter is a main character. Her name's the character's name is Kate Sullivan. She's played by Olivia Cox, and she has become an attorney and moved off to the big city, and then we call her in to help us fight off the corporate raiders.
Okay. All right. Talk about some of your other actors and actresses in this particular performance. Who do we have in this?
So another long-term player that little theater audiences will be familiar with is Bob Meals.
Mm-hmm.
He plays the part of the Wall Street investment banker who's decided that New England Wire and Cable, which is the name of the company that I run, is his latest target for acquisition and liquidation. So Bob has a very interesting role because some people will perceive him as a bad guy and other people will just perceive him as somebody who's doing what comes naturally in a capitalist system. So he's got an interesting sort of balance he has to play because you want the audience to appreciate his point of view, but you don't want the audience to, like, hate this guy.
Sure, yeah.
So he's got an interesting acting challenge that he's got to deal with. And we've already mentioned Ms. Cox.
Rick Medic.
He
was the main character. If anyone went to see Flowers for Algernon, he did a fantastic job in that. He plays... Bill Coles, which he's now the company president, and Yorgi is the chairman. So he runs like the day-to-day.
So he's responsible for daily operations of the company.
Who directs this particular performance?
Don Shearer, who is relatively new to the Little Theater stage. He's performed in three or four productions, but this is his first attempt at directing. This particular play is a challenge from a directing standpoint because you have not only just sort of from a technical, theatrical standpoint, a variety of scenes that have to convey what's going on, but he's got this relatively challenging point of view that you want to show honestly so that the audience gets to make up its own mind about how they feel about these two conflicting points of view. So he's done a fine job. He's been challenged by not only the technicalities of the play, but also by some of the weather you've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We've had
sure.
a variety of
yeah.
cast members who've had to miss rehearsal time due to
yeah.
ill health and other challenges. So he's been dealing with a full bag here to try and bring a nice show out to the Little Theater audience.
And as they say, the show must go on. So mm-hmm. Friday is it, whether you made it to practice or not.
Yep.
So how do you deal with that as an actor when you're on stage? And for unforeseen reasons, maybe somebody has missed, you know, a practice or two. And I'm not trying to pinpoint anyone. I'm just wondering what that experience is like.
I'll name them all.
Okay, right. Okay, number one.
He's a rat.
Alphabetically.
But how do you deal with that when when you are an actor and you're thinking, oh, they missed some of that important information, and here we are, it's showtime, and we're in the middle of the moment. Do you adjust your own performance, or how do you wrap that in?
Well, we have a during the – there's always going to be somebody who can't be there a certain night, and a lot of times they know that ahead of time. They schedule around it, so they put the actors and the scenes together. We don't always do everything in the order it is.
Okay.
So you do it according to who's available. Plus, you have a person that's called a book holder that sits there and reads the character who's missing so that you have somebody to answer mm-hmm. to.
That's sort of the mechanical part. The yeah. the acting part is still a challenge because you're mm-hmm. you're trying to develop your character. This person who may or may not be there that night is trying to develop his or her character. And that all slows down to a crawl mm-hmm. when somebody can't be there for whatever unforeseen yeah. circumstance. And it makes it a tougher challenge for the director, too, because he expects to get accomplished X, Y, and Z over these next three rehearsals, and he only accomplishes X, part of Y, and hardly any of Z. And now at the next rehearsal, he's got to somehow make that all up. And so it can be a challenge, and it's not unusual for the show that we rehearse in December and January to have these same exact challenges, family issues and illnesses mm-hmm, often sure. affect this show. I think it's sort of a double whammy on this show because this show is not just your simple, box set, three entrance comedy. It's a more challenging script, and so it has somewhat of a cascading effect. But
and as you can tell, Mr. Casey has directed quite extensively in his life. That is why he speaks, he knows
he understands the language.
What he speaks. Yeah.
Yes. And how important is that communication between understanding what the director wants to accomplish, X, Y, and Z, as you say? Because when, even in a perfect day, you think it is a perfect performance, something's going to go wrong. I mean, you kind of expect that. So how do you handle those moments when you understand what the director is trying to get?
Well, from an acting standpoint, the thing is knowing your character, knowing the script, knowing the, it's maybe a misconception on some people's part that you go out there and you memorize your lines and you go hit your mark and that's it. It's truly more complicated than that because you have to know enough about the other people's characters and the other people's parts and even their lines so that when something does go wrong, you have a place to go. You can adapt. Some people would call it ad lib, but
cover
mm-hmm. for your own mistake or the mistake of somebody else on stage. So that the play can move forward. It's one of the things that I, like about acting. It's an exercise not just in talent. It's an exercise in focus and in intellect and in just kind of knowing what's going on around you.
Yeah,
it's not for everybody.
and everybody thinks they can until they try, and then they realize this is a little harder than expected. Danielle, how long have you been acting?
Oh, I don't do a lot of acting. I've done a lot of producing.
Okay.
But I started in, I think it was 2007. I was in my first show, and then I more or less went right into producing. I've been in probably 10 shows.
Yeah.
But I'm much more of a producer than an actor.
Dennis, how long have you been acting and directing?
Let's see. Just judging by your face, I'm going to say double your age.
Okay. I don't care how long it is, but if you double my, that's great. I'm good with that.
My first show was 1964.
Yeah.
So I'm 67 now. So if we do the math, that's 53 years.
Wow. And, that's fabulous.
Well, fabulous. You'd have to poll the audience to find out if it's fabulous or have they suffered enough, really.
No. I
mean, won't this guy ever go away?
Well, you're not going away because you have a show that begins on Friday. So what's our typical way that we get tickets to this show?
Well, you can buy them at the door or you could go call at 7 o'clock in the evening from 7 to 9. You call the Butler Little Theater. And I don't have the phone number handy, but you probably have it over there. Or you can now, the new thing is you go online and you can buy them. which is wonderful because you can actually choose your seat. So I'm very excited that we have that now.
Is that new this year?
Last year.
Or last year? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And what you do, you go to www.bltgroup.org, and it'll show you, there's a link there to go buy tickets and for the current show. So it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's always a nice thing to be able to choose mm-hmm. your seat and
yes.
where you want to be and see what's left.
The millennials.
Yeah, right? Isn't that right? I know Tyler was just in here. He's a millennial, so we were talking about the difference.
They don't carry cash.
So. Yes, true. True. That is true. And as we get along, I don't think I carry much cash anyway either. Mm-hmm. So this is a good way to do it. So it's BLTGroup.org to get your tickets for other people's money that starts on Friday. We go Saturday, Sunday
matinee. We're dark on Monday, and then we have Tuesday through Saturday next week.
Okay.
Could you give the phone number there?
You know what? I was looking for it, and I'll pass that back to you.
It's on that paper.
Oh, on this one right over here? Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to pass that right back to you, and we'll get the phone number.
Because a lot of people still prefer to go ahead and call in.
Absolutely.
To the box office. It's 724-287-6781. 724-287-6781. And the hours for the box office are Monday to Friday, 7 to 9.
All right.
Or you could do 24 hours a day, anytime you want, at bltgroup.org.
So this show, Other People's Money, of course, starts on Friday. As you said, goes through next week. But you have auditions coming up for the 77th season already. My goodness. Mm-hmm. That's great. But tell us about the auditions. Where do we go? What are you looking for?
Well, for this next show, the title of the show is The Rise and Rise of Daniel Rocket. I've read the script. It's a unique attempt to delve into, you know, interpersonal relationships that cross several decades. It starts with the characters when they are in grade school, when they're 12 years old, and goes through, I think, age 35 or 36. And they use this central character of Daniel Rocket as a way to explore those feelings and challenges that you face in life. So it's a pretty unique show. It's not really described either as a comedy or a drama. I wouldn't describe it as either. It's done on a very sort of sparse stage from a set standpoint, but it's but they have parts available for cast members ages 18 to 35, five men and four women, and then there's a part for one woman who'd be a little bit older, age, you know, something in the 30 to 60 range. She plays their teacher as when they're students, and those auditions take place Sunday and Monday this coming weekend.
Okay. This is also no prepared readings are necessary. What does that mean to you as an actor?
Well, it means that the director is going to use the actual script and have the people read pieces of the script kind of cold to just get a feel for, you know, what they look like, what they sound like. He'll give a brief explanation of what the play is about and maybe a more in-depth explanation about what the particular scene is about that they're about to read, and then they'll get up on stage and have at it.
Now, in this business, because Tyler and I were just talking about the many things we can do, newscasters, talk show hosts, DJs, you know, it takes a moment, though, just to get in that mindset. Mm-hmm. For you, whenever you're in an audition like this and they're saying, okay, here's your cold read, does it take you a moment to kind of go there, if you will, into whatever role you have to be?
Yeah, well, speaking, you know, as an actor, if you want to do a particular play, especially if you know the script in advance or know anything about the play, you know, if they're doing Odd Couple, pretty much everybody knows Odd Couple. You, mm-hmm. you can come to a cold reading of Odd Couple with a preconceived notion of what you think those characters are about. When you're coming to a cold reading for a play called The Rise and Rise of Daniel Rocket that nobody has ever heard of, if you're really interested, you could probably go online, get your own copy of the script, read it first. Maybe that'll give you an idea. Or if you show up at those auditions and you don't really have much of a clue as to what's going on, then what you do is you sit there and cross your fingers and your toes and hope that you aren't called up first.
I see, yes. Gauging off of everyone else as they go through this process.
Right. Let them go.
That right. Danielle, tell me about the audition process for you whenever. Can you go into an audition and, well, in a case where there's only a spot for one female, that's what you would be going for. But if there are spots for many females, are you pinpointing one position that you'd like to be able to get one character? And if you don't get that character, will a director say, you know what, I think you'd be a better fit for this particular individual?
Yeah, the director makes those final decisions. It's all up to him. You probably go in, you know, in your mind with that I'd like to play this part or that part, but you really have to consider that they all need to fit together as a group. So when the director's looking at everybody, he looks or she looks at how they look together. So you may have been the best actor,
mm-hmm.
but you might not have matched who they got for the best co-star.
Sure.
And so, you know, sometimes you're limited that way. Especially this is little theater. This is community theater. Mm-hmm. This is all volunteers. And nobody gets paid, and whoever shows up,
what?
Shows up.
Wait,
you're not getting
nobody
paid.
Told him that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Man. I wasn't supposed to tell him until we were done.
You're wondering where your check was.
He
huh?
was gay. I was going to wait. We were going to wait until the show was over and then tell him his check got lost in the mail. But, yeah. But that, you know, that has happened. And me being a producer so many times, and I directed one time, when I go to an audition, I know my limitations, and I will see someone like, for instance, Mr. Casey's wife, Nedra, who's a fantastic actress, and there's a few other ones like Amy Dippman and people that always act there.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're in the audition and I see them, I know I would not pick me over them. I would pick them. So I know I don't have a chance for the part that I was thinking of, which isn't negative. It's just realistic. But, you know, they've had more experience. They've had more time on the stage. Mm-hmm. They just have a knack for
it. So when you go into an audition, do you say what role you're there for?
You can. They put it on a little card.
Okay.
You can say which one. But I generally just say whatever the smallest role there is
okay.
the one I want.
I gotcha. All right. Butler Little Theater, we're going to take a break here for just a couple of minutes. I know we have a couple things to take care of. Dennis Casey with me right now. Danielle Verzinski, she's also with us, both actors in the next performance that is coming up, which starts on Friday. We have a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then a dark Monday, as you call it, and then we go into next week with Other People's Money at the Butler Little Theater. So, of course, you can get tickets. You have the phone number. I have the website, so I'll go bltgroup.org or that phone number.
Or you can call the box office Monday through Friday at 724-287-6781. You can make your reservations. You can pay at the door, or you can pay online, purchase your tickets online as well. So,
yeah, Other People's Money. We'll be back with the Butler Little Theater here in just a couple of minutes. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey with It's Your Turn.
And day lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 14-1-4. The pick 3 is 086-086. The pick 4, 5972. The pick 5, 65379. The wild ball for each of those is 5. The treasure hunt is 10, 12, 22, 24, and 30. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000.
Sunnyview Nursing and Rehabilitation Center has a rich history in Butler. Now they are making continuous improvements and technological advancements to better serve the community. Sunnyview specializes in short-term rehabilitation and skilled nursing. Schedule a tour to see their beautiful facility. Call 332-6872 or visit sunnyviewcenter.com. Sunnyview Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, close to your home and close to your heart.
And we're back again. It's your turn. I got to think for a moment. You know,
we're
just it's our turn, right?
First.
Yeah. With us is the Butler Little Theater. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey. And it's funny because I joked about this a couple of times with a couple of different people. With me is Dennis and Danielle from the Butler Little Theater. And I said, I typically am in the morning with Let's Talk. And we were just talking about, you know, how it takes a moment to switch. And in the moment, sometimes it's a matter of, okay, what time is it? Is it 11:15? No. It's 1 o'clock? No. What time is it? It's almost 2 o'clock. It's 1:50 with the Butler Little Theater. 10 more minutes left with Danielle and Dennis. And we're talking about other people's money, which begins on Friday at the Butler Little Theater, goes through the weekend, again into next week will be the performances, so you can get the tickets for that. But I did want to ask you about your coffee house series. That's coming up in February, isn't that?
Mm-hmm. Well, we do two or three of these a year. It's essentially we open up the stage to a particular performer or performers. They come. We've done a lot of acoustic nights, but we've had others that were non-acoustic. This particular gentleman is coming is Brad Yoder, and he's going to come and do music and some poetic political humor. It's going to be what day is that? February 24th.
Okay, 24th.
February 24th at 7:30. Tickets are for those performances. They're only available at the door. They're $10 at the door. And we've had some really good success bringing some unique, different entertainment to Butler and utilizing the stage a little more, you know, when we're not actually performing one of our, you know, main shows.
Mm-hmm.
So works well for the little theater, good for the community. I think it's intriguing. I don't know Mr. Yoder particularly, but I know we've had some really interesting performers.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to utilize that space.
Mm-hmm.
and keep it working whenever you are not on the stage. But you're on the stage quite a bit throughout the year, huh?
We have five main shows a year. We do the Children's Workshop, which is ongoing right now. They go through a series of training and class activities with a variety of teachers, and at the end they do a weekend of performances for their parents, grandparents, whoever shows up, so they get a kick out of that, and it's a great way to be involved in the community. And then in the summer times we do a summer dramatic performance, and typically quite a large number of teenage performers get active in the little theater and do a show that typically goes on at the end of June, beginning of July.
And that's for under 21, right?
Yes.
Under 21, okay. Yep. Okay.
I'm trying to give them a chance to, again, utilize the stage and
sure.
learn something about theater and get a chance sure. to, you know, utilize their talents.
Oh, and now we have this crazy thing called air conditioning.
Yeah.
You have air conditioning?
Yeah.
Nice.
Leaping into the 21st century.
Nice. You get tickets online. You got air conditioning. See how that all works?
Yep.
One step at a time. Well, when you're talking about the youth, I'm glad that you have the classes in order for them to be able to get used to how you do this. Danielle, I'm going to ask you this question, because if you are an adult and you thought, I would always like to be a part of that, I never really did this in high school, but there is some teaching that goes along with it. What would you tell that individual if they want to be a part of the Butler Little Theater, but they've never really acted before?
Just show up. That's 90% of it, I'd say. Come and try out, audition, get involved. There's a lot of other things you can do if you don't want to, like, jump right into acting. You can do some backstage things. We have people that work in the sound booth, the light, you know, the lights, the ushering. There's costuming. There's stage decoration, set decoration. There's a lot of things, and you can learn a lot while you're doing those backstage duties that you can observe and then get your feet wet, and then you can jump in and go and audition.
And try it out.
And you'll pick up the stage directions while you're there.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, so, the lingo and the language.
Yeah, the lingo.
Yeah. And if you've got a bug, if you've wanted to do it like in high school or college and just never did, chances are you've got the bug. That's a good way to describe it, because it is a disease.
Yes. Can't get away from it.
Yeah. We have a group for this, too.
The support group we'll talk about next. Just kidding.
That's in the next hour.
Yeah, right. But that's always a good thing that you're there. And I'm generally assuming, because I'm not an actor or actress, that you're helping each other out, especially new people who come in. Is that the camaraderie
well, oh,
that
yeah,
you have?
Oh, yeah. There's, you know, the best associations and friendships I've had in my life have been in theater people, as mm-hmm. we say. So, yeah, it's great. But really, when you're out on stage, I tell people this all the time, you know, when you're out on stage, you're really there to make sure that if something goes wrong on stage, the audience knows it wasn't you. So the main thing you want to do is you want to throw this other person under the bus.
Can I incorporate that here? You know,
I'm sure
something
you
goes
can.
Wrong
there's
here.
There's got to be
not
a way.
My fault. Yeah.
Well, especially if it was Dave. You know,
yeah, right?
You know, I mean, Dave's not here, and stabbing him in the back would be like a dream come true.
Oh, goodness. All right, so before we go, we only have 5 minutes left with you. The lab. Talk about the lab.
Well, the lab for years, decades really, the Little Theater has tried to do unique things theatrically that we could not consider for a main stage production. You know, we're a not-for-profit group, so our main stage productions have to generate enough money to keep the lights on and the heat, especially this time of year, we desperately need the heat. So there are certain shows that we know there'd be a small audience for in Butler that would like to see this or that. But we couldn't devote like a main stage production time for something like that. So we tried to do some, I guess I would call it experimental theater. We started in the 70s with what we called New Dimensions Workshop, and it's had other names over the years. Right now it's The Lab. And it's kind of like the name implies, just trying to do something new and different, hopefully interesting. We realize it's for a smaller audience, but we still think it's almost part of our commitment to the community to try and do something like that. So sure. This spring, the lab is going to attempt to do some original material. So we've asked for local writers who are interested to submit scripts. We'll review those scripts, excuse me, and pick one or two that we think are worthy of production, and we intend to do that in May. So right now we're assuming, because of the timeline, that we wouldn't have time for actors to actually work up a full show. So we're thinking of doing it as a reader's theater. So if we get 5 or 6 scripts that are worthy and we cull it down to 2 or 3 that we'll do, we'll get some volunteers amongst our actors to get up on stage and read it, and so the writer gets a chance to not only have his or her play selected, but a chance to hear it voiced by some people who probably have at least a modicum of talent trying to make it live for them. So it could be good for our audience, good for the writer. We hope we get some good submissions.
Absolutely. Volunteers, where do they call? How do they get a hold of you, Danielle?
It's the same number, 724-287-6781. Leave your information there on the answering machine, and whoever's the producer of the current production will get in touch with you. That would be, in this case, I did want to mention our producer, Amy Kennard. She's also the teacher of the children's workshop. She's been doing a great job helping she's been there since she was like 3 years old, so she knows the theater.
Been around.
And she's been helping Mr. Shearer along, and our executive, what is he, the executive
director
mm-hmm. Stefan Lingenfelter, he will be the director of the next production.
Oh, good. So, okay. All
so
right.
He's, because when you're a new director, you have to have an executive director.
Okay, absolutely.
But curtain times are Fridays and Saturdays are 8. Sunday is at 2:30 in the afternoon. Every other time is 7:30, and the tickets are $13.
Okay, very good. Danielle, Dennis, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
It was nice to talk to you. Other People's Money at the Butler Little Theater, again, starts on Friday, but you can go throughout the weekend. You can go into next week. Monday is dark. But other than that, you've got Other People's Money. So that's the next production with the Butler Little Theater. All right, folks, we are done for the day. So I will be back in tomorrow. I know Dave is not going to be here again tomorrow. And so we'll just pick it up again tomorrow. I'm just trying to think of the schedule, but we'll give it to you tomorrow. How about we do that? All right, thanks for joining us. I'm Tracy Morgan with It's Your Turn.
Small things can have a big impact. Join the Butler Radio Network as we collect warm, new socks for our Socks for Seniors campaign. Throughout the month of January, we'll be collecting socks that will then be distributed to local seniors. Over the years, we've seen firsthand how the gift of a simple pair of socks has brightened the day of many seniors in the Butler area. Help us warm the feet and hearts of our elderly neighbors during the cold winter months. Socks of all types, styles, and colors can be dropped off at the Butler Network Studios on Pillow Street until January 31st.
It's up-to-the-minute local, national, and world news from WISR Butler, Pennsylvania, and the CBS Radio News Network.